We'll go ahead and get started here this evening. I forgot to bring my little sheet on the order of services for Wednesday night, so I'm guessing that will make it a little bit here. We'll start off with prayer requests. Anybody have any prayer requests this evening to start out? Brother?
Back.
Brother, back in prayer. Anybody else have anything they want to watch in prayer?
I assume most people here know Dr. Freeman passed away. Just with family and their arrangements and everything.
Is that Jason's grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
The one that had pneumonia?
I believe so.
Not the one with heart, right?
Gary's dad. Gary's dad.
Okay.
He had COVID-related pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, keep the family in prayer. And that's anybody else? Lord willing, I'll be back with y'all January 3rd, that's Sunday.
Amen.
Come back up then and spend a week. I just got my wife coming up. I looked at a house. I looked at a lot of houses and places to rent. Places to rent are hard to find and places to buy. So I just appreciate that. I'm going to pray for it through the night, see how the Lord kind of leads and directs with this house I saw today. So just pray God give me wisdom on it and what you have me to do. It's not far from here, about 10 minutes. So appreciate the prayers and I've been able to do with that house. It's pretty much move in ready. So the only thing I'll have to wait on is my house to get cleared down in Charleston. My son is assuming the loan down there, so we're in the process of that, so it should take another 30 days to get all the paperwork taken care of that. So take care of stuff down here, and we'll go and get up here soon.
Amen.
Appreciate your prayers. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the state of God. We thank you for this opportunity to come to your house this evening, Lord. Thank you for these precious brethren, Lord, that we travel now. Lord, I pray you just Brother Freeman's family, Lord, those difficult times and they pass away, and I pray this through his wife and family, strengthen them, encourage and help them, Lord, in this difficult time. And I pray this lift them up, good God, just to watch over them. Lord, I pray this to Brother Jason, Lord, Kelly, Lord, encourage them, help them, it's time. Her parents down there in Florida, Lord, watch over them and help them with the sicknesses and things that they have to deal with. Lord, I pray you to speak with us tonight, good God. I pray that you would be glorified and honored and praised. And we just lift you up. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, same page number 407. Take the blue pen book, 407. All the way my Savior leads me. Jason Cook made it this evening, so we'll be singing a cappella. Page number 407.
Wings its flight to realms of day.
2 Peter chapter 1. But what was going through my mind and kind of can't get off my mind is this subject of foundations, a proper foundation in our spiritual life, something to build upon to help us in our walk with God. And so this portion of Scripture here, I'm not going to go through the book of 2 Peter, but the first chapter here has some things that I believe will be helpful to establish a foundation in our Christian walk. 1 Peter chapter number 1, let me read through here. Starting verse number 1, it says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And these short first four verses here in 2 Peter, we find that we have all that pertains to life and godliness, and also to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Continue on verse 5. And besides this, what I just read in verse 1 through 4, besides this, giving all diligence. Now when I see that word diligence, my ears kind of perk up a little bit, like this is probably something that God puts an emphasis on if he had Peter write down to give diligence to what he's getting ready to say. And he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Look what he says in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also a danger to it. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, what we just read in verses 5 through 8 or 7, any of these lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, there's that word again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to read verses 12 through 15, but three times from verses 12 through 15, you find the word remembrance. So two times you find diligence, and then the preceding verses, 12 through 15, you find the word remembrance. So Peter's putting a lot of emphasis on what this first chapter holds, and I kind of want to look at a few of these things in chapter 1. We're not going to get through all of it this evening, but I kind of want to start out with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray lead, God, and direct my words, my thoughts. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us what we need. Lord, that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days. Father, that would help us to stay faithful. Lord, that would help us to, God, to be a light that would shine in this dark world. Father, that we would just be a testimony for you, Lord. And God, that someday when you call us home to heaven, Lord, we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray help us now, Lord, as we look at your scriptures. Open our eyes, dear God, that may behold wonderful things out of your word. We pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse number 1, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to notice here, it says, precious faith. Take your Bible and flip over to chapter, or 1 Peter chapter 3. One word that Peter likes in 1 and 2 Peter is the word precious. And I'm just going to look at a few of them, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 7. It talked about a precious faith. Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jump back up to look at verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, Peter talks about your faith in Jesus Christ, your walk with God as a saved believer is precious to God. God puts a high value on your soul and your faith that you trusted in Jesus Christ. And what he's saying here in Peter is saying, wherein right now you might be going through some heaviness, you might be going through some trials, you might be going through some afflictions, but your faith and your walk with God is precious. The word precious means this. It means of great price, costly, of great value or worth. God knows what you're going through this evening. He knows what you're going through. If he knows how many hairs are on the top of your head, he knows what's going on in your life. And we can rest that he knows what's going on in our life. And we can rest that he knows best for our life, though we might not understand it. You might be going through manifold temptations, a heaviness, yet God sees that. And it's precious to him. We quickly might want to get out of the situation we're in, but in God's eyesight, that's a purging to make you more perfect for him. A better walk for him in this life down here. Not concerning salvation, you making you righteous, but purging your walk down here in the flesh. Bringing the flesh more into subjection, putting that old man on the cross and walking in the spirit and not making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he says here, your faith is precious. The trial of your faith is precious. Flip over to chapter 2 in 1 Peter and look at verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings," that's all in the flesh, "crucify these things and put them to death. Laying them aside," verse number 2, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but of them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So three times in verses 1 through 7, you again find that word precious. And that those words there are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. Our faith is precious. And the trial of our faith is precious. So go back over to 2 Peter. So going into these next verses to add on to our faith, going into this, God wants us to know that we're precious in his sight because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the problem is this. I don't know about y'all, but there's been times in my life where I've prayed for patience. I don't know if you've ever prayed for patience. Usually when you pray for patience, it's like everything breaks loose. And then 2 weeks later you ask and you're saying, "Well, I have it now to where if I pray for patience and then things are going bad, my wife looks at me and says, did you pray for patience?" I did pray for patience about a week ago, and it just seems like everything's gone wrong since I prayed for patience. But when you pray for things like that, you pray for God to give you patience. You pray for God to give you grace. You pray for God to give you mercy. And so often it seems like he puts you in situations and you do everything but have patience, mercy, and grace. But that's a trial of your faith that's more precious than gold. It's going into that furnace and letting God purge you and make you a better Christian. So going into that, as you get ready to go into the fire, God wants you to know that you're precious in his sight because of what Jesus Christ did for you, and because Jesus Christ is precious in God the Father's sight. So you know it's in love. It's in love. Correction is in love, and growth in the Lord Jesus Christ is being done in love, even though it might be painful and uncomfortable. Okay? So it's precious. So the next thing he says in verse number 1, he says, "Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." How is this done? How is this accomplished? Our precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. It's all because of him, because of his righteousness. Now, God desires for us to be righteous. He desires for us to live righteous lives. Righteousness means this: purity of heart and rectitude of life. It means conformity of the heart and life to the divine law, and it's nearly equivalent to holiness. God desires holiness in our lives because he is holy. He desires righteousness. Now, I'm not very smart, so I had to look up the word rectitude, because righteousness said purity of heart and rectitude of life. I said, well, what is rectitude of life? Rectitude means, in morality, righteousness of principle or practice. It means uprightness of mind, exact conformity to truth or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. Basically doing right either by man or God. And one thing you realize is what we read there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, by the righteousness of God, I quickly realized that my righteousness does not measure up to the righteousness of God. Not just God's standards, I don't even measure up to man's standards. I mean, I'm sure all of us in here, if we drove this week, we went over the speed limit, at least 1 mile over the speed limit at some point. So therefore, we've broken one of man's commandments or laws. So we can't, those people who think that they can measure up to God and be good enough to merit God's righteousness in heaven, you're insane, because you can't even measure up to man's commandments and laws and statutes, much less God's commandments, laws, and statutes. So it's through the righteousness of God. Now, take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter number 64. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. In this chapter, God's dealing with his children, Israel, but I believe it can be, we can get something from it. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us. Look at verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Flip on over to chapter 6 in Isaiah. So in Isaiah, we find that our righteousness are as filthy rags, and not only is our righteousness filthy rags, we don't even seek after God, is what God's telling his people there. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 1. Now this is one of God's prophets, Isaiah, and look what he says in Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then look what Isaiah says in verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's God right there. Holy, holy, holy. You know why a lot of people don't have a big problem with this time of year? Because Jesus is a baby. Right? There's not much threat. I mean, I've held a lot of babies before, and I've never felt like a baby is a threat to me unless they're sick or have a dirty diaper. But other than that, there's no threat from a baby. Correct? Or unless you're changing their diaper. I know that can be very dangerous too. Okay? Changing a baby's diaper can be dangerous. But other than that, there's no threat from a baby. There's nothing a baby is going to do to you. Okay? Without you, that baby's going to die. So a baby in a manger today or tomorrow, 2 days, most people in America, there's no threat from Jesus being in a manger and being a baby. But you don't see this being propagated throughout America, of this scene of who God is. Holy, 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 to where the seraphims are covering themselves because of the glory of God. And Isaiah, the prophet, a man that loves God, is trying to serve God. He gets in the presence of God. He says, woe is me. I'm unclean. I'm undone. I don't even deserve to be in here. Isaiah quickly sees where he stands before God, that his righteousness is but nothing but filthy rags. Job chapter 14, 4 says this, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You can't take something dirty and then make it clean as far as your sin goes. You sin, there's no way you can purge your sin. There's no way you can make right your sin that you've committed. The only one that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on Calvary. Now, we know about the Lord's righteousness. I want to look at a quick verse concerning that. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Very familiar verse in the Bible. So our righteousness is filthy rags. God's righteousness is pure and holy. And he gives us his righteousness. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But if you jump over to verse number 19, Romans chapter 3, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ and all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So back to 2 Peter. Our righteousness is established in God's righteousness. What Jesus Christ did for us on that cross, we now have his righteousness. And so we see that our faith is precious, and it's through the righteousness of God through Jesus, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, he says this then. And we looked at it, I believe, Sunday night. Again here, Peter mentions it, not Paul. Now Peter mentions, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I'm going to close up this evening with these thoughts here concerning how to multiply grace and peace in our lives. It says, grace and peace be multiplied. Well, how is it multiplied into our lives? Unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So, grace is multiplied to us. Number one, I want you to see in Hosea, number one, that very little knowledge of God, or none at all, is because of the reason that there's very little knowledge of God in our land today is because of sin. Look at Hosea chapter number 6. So grace and peace is multiplied to us by the knowledge of God. So why do people lack grace and peace? Because they lack the knowledge of God. If you have the knowledge of God, grace and peace is going to be multiplied to you. But we're lacking it today in our land because of sin. Look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse number, or I'm sorry, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You see that? God's got a problem with the children of Israel. And the reason he's got a problem with them is because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. What is truth? Okay, the Bible says Jesus Christ said he is truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit of God is also truth, the Spirit of truth. Okay? The Bible itself is sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So your word, the word of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they're all truth. Well, because there's no truth in the land. Look, you get rid of the word of God, you get rid of the knowledge or the growth or the salvation of Jesus Christ, because you learn of Jesus Christ by the word of God. You get comfort from the word of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the word of God. All three of them are important with each one of the other. And in a country that's neglected and thrown away the word of God, you're going to lack the knowledge of God. I had an individual ask me the other day. They said, with everything that is bad going on, why aren't more people flocking to the churches? Well, I said, most of people in America, why do they need God? Why do most people need God? Why would you even go to a church? We have everything we could possibly need for the most part. Most people in America have everything they need. Why would you need God? And then also you add on to that is we've raised a generation of fools. Okay? The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Well, if the fool says in his heart that there is no God, how do we get to the point to where we got people that are fools? Well, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So if you're not disciplined in raising up children the right way, according to scriptures, then they're going to be raised up and becoming little fools to big fools, who have no knowledge of God. And therefore, you get what you have out here today. You have a country that there is no truth, there's no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. But look at verse number 2 in Hosea chapter 4. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing, man, you don't have to go far out here in society to hear somebody swear. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, and they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor approve another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Look at verse 6. But my people are destroyed for what? For a lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Not worldly knowledge. Godly knowledge. Reference back, I believe, to chapter 4, verse number 1, the knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You forget the word of God, and you lay aside the word of God, and you're going to get what we have today. You cannot neglect the Bible. You cannot neglect the word of God in your very life. You have to, I have to, daily spend time in God's word to keep me in check. I have the Holy Spirit of God, but I also, If I have a Bible, I also need this to keep me in check, to keep my flesh in check, to keep my flesh in subjection, and to walk, again, as I said earlier, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You see real quick how much time somebody spends in the Bible. Well, I have this going on in my life, and I have this going on in my life. Well, are you praying? Well, no, I ain't been praying. Have you been reading your Bible? Well, no, I really haven't been reading my Bible. Well, if you ain't doing those two, then you're not going to get help anywhere else unless you start doing those two. At least start doing those two things first. Does it make sense? Now, let's say this. Let's say tomorrow, or for the next, let's say from now till Sunday, all we eat to from now till Sunday is each day we get two slices of bread and some water, and that's all we get from now till Sunday. We're going to be feeling pretty weak come Sunday. That's not a lot of sustenance. We'll look at it concerning physically, we're going to get weak. We'll look at it spiritually. You read just one chapter out of the Bible a day, and that's it, and you spend maybe 2 minutes praying, you're going to get pretty weak. That's not a lot of sustenance. Does that make sense? As is a physical, so is a spiritual. You're going to eat three meals a day, if not a little more, and some snacks, and you're going to keep your stomach full. Most of the time you get hungry, we're going to usually eat something. The same thing spiritually. If we don't stay filled spiritually, we're going to be weak. The inner man, the new man is going to be weak because we're not feeding him. Just like if you don't feed yourself physically, you're going to get weak. And the devil knows that, so that's why he tries to keep us out of the scriptures. My people are destroyed of lack of knowledge. Why? Because they don't spend time and are aware of what God says in his word. Now, I want you to think about this statement here. You'll see a lot of professions today and people coming to God because if you ask a group of people, you say just like a prison environment, and you're ministering in a prison environment, and you ask most of those men or women in there, you say, does anyone want to go to hell? Well, of course, most people, unless they're being sarcastic, most of them are going to say, no, I don't want to go to hell. But then the next question is this, do you want to love God? There's a lot of people say, no, I don't want to go to hell. But then when it comes, do you want to love God and have holiness and righteousness in your life? Oh, now you're taking a little too far. Do you see the difference between, look, I got saved and came to God because, not because I didn't want to go to hell. Obviously, I don't want to go to hell. But I got to a point in my life where I wanted to love God because he loved me. And that I got to a point to where I couldn't believe after all these things that I've done that God loves me. That there's an entity out there that loves me when I've done everything against him. He loved me and he died for me, and I have an opportunity to love him back because of what he did for me. That's what I want. Hell, not going to hell is just a fringe benefit. I come to church because I want to love God. I serve God because I want to love him and serve him, not because I don't want to go to hell. Of course I don't want to go to hell, but I'm here because I want God. And so when you ask people that question, a lot of people say, well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell, but well, do you want to love God then? Because Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse number 23, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my word. If you love me, you'll do those things that are pleasing to the Father. And what is pleasing to the Father? Righteousness and holiness. Most people don't want righteousness and holiness. They want God, but they also still want their life. You can't have both. It's either one or the other. At least it was for me. I can't look at my wife and say, honey, I love you, but I'm only going to spend 4 days with you a year. I'll come to see you in January, and then I'll come and see you in April, and then maybe in September, and then maybe in... But I thought you loved me. Well, yeah, I do love you. Yeah, well, why don't you want to spend more time with me? You see, if you love someone, you want to spend time with them. Same way with God. I love him. And I want to spend time with them because of the love that I have towards them. Most people just want to get out of, get out of free jail card. They don't want to go to hell, but they also don't want to love God. Like the Bible says we ought to love God. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So of course you'll get a lot of people to pray, yes, Jesus saved me and all that, but they don't want that other side of the relationship. That other side of the relationship says, do you love me? You want to spend time with me? You want to be around me? You want to talk with me? You want me to talk with you? This book here is basically a love letter of God to us. Now, when I was overseas, my wife, before we were married, we wrote a lot of letters to each other. If a letter came in from her and I knew it was from her, I didn't take that letter and just put it off the side and be like, I'll read that later on. I was reading it before I was even out of the base little post office over there overseas. I was reading as I was walking back to my little tent. And then I just didn't just read it one time. I would read it at least 5-6 times before I even put it up. And then later on that night, I would break it back out again and read it again. Why? Because it was a letter from somebody that I loved and they sent it to me. This is a letter from God that he sent to us because he loves us. And it tells us about who he is and what we need to know about ourselves. It's just like receiving a letter from somebody that you love. You ought to spend time in it. So, number one, we find that there's very little knowledge of God because of sin. Number two, the knowledge of God can be found and understood. The knowledge of God can be found and understood. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 real quick. Proverbs chapter 2. We'll look at this thing and one other thing, and then we'll close up this evening. Proverbs chapter 2. So the knowledge of God, grace and peace. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said grace and peace. And verse number 2, he said, are multiplied unto you, what? By the knowledge of God. So we know that the knowledge of God can be hindered by sin in the land, but the knowledge of God can be found and obtained. And this is one of these verses I used to use all the time in a juvenile center. Chapter 2, verse number 1 in Proverbs. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then, when you do the verses 1 through 4, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and look, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. If you do verses 1 through 4, if that is in your heart, and you're striving and crying out for God and knowledge and understanding, you'll find the fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge of God. So it can be obtained. And number 3, the Lord desires for us to have knowledge of him. Back over to Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6. God desires for us to have knowledge of him. Hosea verse number 6, or chapter 6, verse 6, it says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So we find that the knowledge of God can be hindered or left non-existent in a land that has sin in it. Number 2, we find that knowledge of God can be found and understood in Proverbs chapter 2. And then we find here that God desires for us to have his knowledge of him. He says in Hosea 6, 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I'm going to close with that this evening, and then next time we get together on Wednesday night, we'll go over a few other things there concerning the knowledge of God. But these things, I believe God puts the emphasis on, that we give diligence to these things, that we take heed to these things because they're precious in God's sight. Our faith is precious. Jesus Christ is precious. Let's not waste it. Let's not just put it off to the side, but let's give due diligence to what God says and what God puts the emphasis on. Okay, let's pray this evening. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, again, I just thank you for these precious brethren coming out, Lord, on a Wednesday night. I know, especially after some of these men working long hours, dear God, and just being tired, I thank you, Lord, that they made the effort to come out. And I pray you'd bless them for it. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us to live for you, help us to take these things to heart, help us to apply it to our lives, and help us just to love you more because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray for those that couldn't make it tonight, that may be sick or under the weather or are traveling or with family. I pray you just encourage them, help them just be a witness and testimony for you, Lord, and just bring everybody back safely Sunday and bless the messages that occur on Sunday also. And Lord, we just ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So I believe now y'all just break off into groups to pray, and appreciate y'all. And let's pray.